Okay, this evening then we're going to try to bring a message from Psalm 47. And we'll do this by way of a verse-by-verse study, which I think is a very, very blessed and profitable way to preach the gospel of Christ, Christ and Him crucified. All the Psalms and all the Word of God all tell us one message, the message of a person, Christ, His person, His work, His victory, Christ our righteousness, Christ our Savior, Christ is all of our salvation. All the Psalms and all the prophets, they all declare the same message, the beauty and glory of the Lord Jesus. Now I'm calling this message, Christ has ascended in victory, and I'm taking that title from the words found in verse 5, God is gone up. With a shout, with a shout. The Lord with the sound of a trumpet. I believe this is referring to His ascending victory when He by Himself purged our sin. Our sin brought death, a real death. He died for our sin according to the Scripture. Was buried, and then on the third day He rose again, having justified us by His blood. Delivered for our offenses and justified. We're justified by His resurrection glory, justified by His blood. And because we've been justified, and because He got the work done, no longer did the grave and our sin have a claim on Him. And then He ascends to glory and occupies the right hand of the throne of God when He by Himself purged our sin. Put away our sin, all of our sin, the sin of God's people. The Lord Jesus not only successfully put away our sin by the sacrifice of Himself, and that's what it says in the Word of God. Christ appeared once in the end of the age to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. And He rose victoriously the third day and ascended to the throne of glory 40 days later. And now, there's a God-man in glory, seated on the throne. And one day soon, I hope very soon, the Lord is coming back. The Lord is coming back. It says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 that the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God. It's no secret thing. It'll be known among all the earth. The Lord has come back. The Lord of glory. He said, I'll go away. And if I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also with the Lord. With the Lord forever. Can you imagine such a thing? No more sin, no more flesh, no more tears, no more death, no more trouble, but to be with Him, to be just like Him, to be with Him, to worship Him without any distraction, to worship Him without any sin, to worship Him truly like we want to, and someday we will worship Him. Now, let's consider for a moment verse 1 and following. Considering His glorious victory for us over sin, death, hell, and the grave, our Lord said, I'm He that liveth and was dead. Behold, I'm alive forevermore. I've got the keys of hell and death. Now, what are we to do? Clap your hands. Clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Triumph. As the Lord's elect, His church, we are to clap our hands and shout unto our God with a voice of triumph and victory that the Lord Jesus Christ has gained for us. It's a victorious gospel we have in Christ Jesus. Let's read a couple of verses and consider a couple of verses. Find, first of all, 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Our Our God is not a defeated Savior. He's a victorious Savior, a victorious Lord. It says here in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57, talking about the resurrection, our resurrection. Because He lives, we shall live. Thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The victory. Oh, death, where's your sting? Oh, grave, where's your victory? Gone. We have complete victory in Christ. He conquered death for us. Now find 2 Corinthians 2. 2 Corinthians 2. Look at verse 14. This is 2 Corinthians 2, 14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. Always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus, and maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. Thanks be to God. He causes us to have the victory over all things. You know, the clapping of the hands. Now, we don't, in our worship service, we don't physically clap our hands, and we don't audibly shout and carry on, but we do within our heart. We're rejoicing in our heart, and we are praising and singing unto our God in our heart. But the clapping of the hands is a gesture of joy and approval, isn't it? When you go somewhere and you see something, usually at the end of the play or something, people will stand up, and somebody who has brought special music or something in some kind of theater or something, usually the people will stand up and give a token of their approval and pleasure by the clapping of the hands, don't they? Sometimes people even stand up and clap. They give a standing ovation, a hearty endorsement and approval of what they have just witnessed before them. Nothing is more satisfying to the believer than to rejoice in Christ and to clap and shout with the voice of triumph, the voice of victory in the gospel that the power of God unto salvation. For the Lord Jesus Christ meets our every need. He's able to meet all our need, and that's singular. Because I just have one need, and that's Christ. He's able to meet all my need. Everything I need to stand before God is fully and eternally provided in Christ Jesus. He's able to meet all our need according to His riches in glory through Christ Jesus. For He has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. This is the message of the gospel. It's one of victory, not defeat, not frustration, but the one of victory. Christ is victorious. Christ is the conquering King. He's not defeated. He's not frustrated, but He's absolute Lord. It says in Revelation 6, describing the Lord Jesus Christ as the glorious Lamb that was slain for our sin, He went forth conquering and to conquer. You see, He has won the victory Himself and has given that unto us by His grace. Turn over to Psalm 98. Psalm 98. Look at verse 1. Sing unto the Lord a new song, for He hath done marvelous things. His right hand, His holy arm, hath gotten Him the victory. You know, everybody likes to be a winner, don't they? You want to be on the winning basketball team. You want to be on the winning side of whatever you're on. You want to be a winner. Well, you know, by nature, we're all losers. And Adam all have died. And Adam all have sinned. No wonder the Apostle Paul said, "Oh, that I may win Christ and be found in Him." In the Lord Jesus Christ, every believer is a winner. A winner being found in Him. Being found in Him. And this is a message of the gospel. Christ is victorious. He is our victory over all opposition. I think the remainder of this psalm gives unto us reasons for our rejoicing, reasons to clap and to shout with a voice of approval. For we read in Scripture, in all things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us and gave Himself for us. Now let's consider verse 2. For the Lord Most High is terrible, or better word, is tremendous. He's tremendous in His character. Impeccable. He's tremendous in His character. He's tremendous in His person, for He is God. He's tremendous in His work as a great high priest who was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The Lord Most High is tremendous in every aspect that you can think of His person, of His work, of His priesthood, in His office. Mediator. Oh, He's a tremendous mediator, isn't He? There's just one God, one mediator between God and men. That is the man Christ Jesus. He's a tremendous mediator. I want Him to be my mediator. I have to have one. He's tremendous in all of His office as mediator. How about advocate? He's our advocate. John says, my little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not. But when you do, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. We have a tremendous advocate. We have a tremendous mediator. We have a tremendous intercessor, for He ever lives to intercede for us. You see, everything about Him, His person, His office, His work, His salvation. How should we escape if we neglect so great salvation? We have a tremendous Savior, don't we? You know, He is what He's called. He is what He's called. He is the Savior. Call His name Jesus. He shall save His people from their sin. He is what He's called. He's a tremendous Savior. It says He's able to save to the uttermost all that come to God by Him, seeing He ever lives to make intercession for us. He's the tremendous Savior that I need. I don't need a weak, impotent, frustrated, weak, puny Savior. I need a tremendous Savior. You know why? Because I'm a tremendous sinner. I need a great Savior because I'm a great sinner. I need someone to come and do for me what I cannot do for myself, to save me, deliver me from my own self, from myself. So the Lord Most High, oh, He's tremendous. You know, He is the great King over all the earth. It says that again down in verse 7. For God is the King of all the earth. God is God over all things. He's a King over all the earth. You know, not only here in Kingsport, but you know, over there in California, down there in Texas, over there in China, anywhere you can think of, God is King of all the earth. And we do sing praises unto Him with understanding. We rejoice in His universal reign. We shout and we give thanks that God is God and He's our God. We do rejoice in His universal reign and His absolute sovereignty. For He indeed is King. And you know, He's not King by something we do. He's not King by a democratic process. We didn't vote on this. God had decreed Him to be Lord and Christ. God had made Him. You can't make Jesus your Lord. That's what they say in religious circles. Well, make Jesus your Lord. Come forward and make a decision and make Him your Lord. You can't make Him Lord. God beat you to it. In eternity, God had decreed Him to be Lord and Savior. Oh, He's the King of all the earth. Ah, what are you going to do about that? Well, I don't like that. Boy, I do. I do. I'm going to sing and shout unto God with a voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is tremendous, and He's my King. I like the way the Apostle Paul refers to the Lord Jesus Christ as God my Savior. He's the only just God and Savior. So we give thanks that He is King all over all the earth. He's King in salvation. You ever doubt that? He's King in salvation, is He not? He said, I'll have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and whom I will I'll harden. He's King in salvation. He's King in creation. He's King in providence. He's King over all things. There's nothing and no aspect that you can think of that He doesn't reign over all things. Well, it says in verse 3, so we give thanks. He's King of all the earth. He's no local deity, no local ruler. He's the undisputed heavyweight champion of the universe. He's never lost a fight. He has a perfect record. He's defeated every foe. And every knee will bow before Him and every tongue will confess that He's Lord to the glory of God the Father. It says in verse 3 that He'll save His people. And we give thanks. He will save His people from their sin. Or some have suggested that the rendering His is that He shall lead His people like a shepherd. Well, He does both. He saves us, and then He doesn't leave us. He leads us. He is the good shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And because He is my shepherd, I shall not want. He is a captain of our salvation. It says in Hebrews 2 verse 10 that is bringing many sons unto glory. He shall subdue. He shall save His people from their sin. You see, the battle's not ours. It's His. We can't subdue one sin, nor can we convict one sinner. I can't convict you of your sin. I can tell you you're a sinner, and you probably might agree with me, but I can't convince you in your heart before God Almighty what we are in His sight. He can. He can convince you. He can teach you. He can subdue your hard-heartedness, your unwillingness, and He can break your heart. He's nigh them of a broken heart. Save us such as be of a contrite spirit. You know, there's no reason to despair of God's mercy and God's grace to the hardest of hearts. God is able to save. You heard the story of what the old preacher, his name was William Jay. He was a close friend of John Newton. Have I told you this before? Well, I'll tell you. If I've told you before, I'll tell you again. John Newton, great preacher of the gospel, but he had a kind of a notorious beginning as the captain of a slave ship. He traded in African slaves and brought them to various places and sold those men. And later God convicted him of his sin and raised him up and saved him and raised him up to be a preacher of the gospel. We sing his song, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Well, one day John Newton was sitting in his study and a preacher friend of his that was in the neighborhood came by, and his name was William Jay, and he came in Brother Newton's study and said, Brother John, he said, have you heard the news about this notorious sinner down here in Bath County, how God invaded his heart and how God broke him, unhorsed him, and made him a new creature in Christ Jesus? And Brother Jay said to John Newton, said, I'll never despair of God's mercy again in saving His power, in saving the most vile, wretched sinners. And old John Newton said, Brother Jay, said, I've never despaired of God's saving mercy to any sinner since God saved me. Wretch that I am, I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. You see, He's able to subdue. He's able to save. We keep on preaching. Keep on preaching. Keep on praying. keep asking God to be merciful. And I tell you what, God will cross the path of His sheep and He'll subdue them. He'll save them. He'll break them. And He'll conquer them. Is there ever such a case in Scripture as old Saul of Tarsus? Breathing out threatening and slaughter against the Lord and against His disciples, and how he met the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to persecution, Damascus, and how he was unhorsed and put in the dust and broken before God and said, "Lord, what will you have me to do? I'm a sinner. Have mercy on me, this sinner. He shall subdue his people." Mark it down. He conquered me. He conquered you. And then it says in verse 4, we give reason. These are reasons for rejoicing in Christ. Verse 4, he shall choose. Now, does he have the right to choose? Well, he's king. He's king. You don't call the White House, do you, and suggest that the President of the United States do what you choose, do you? No, he does what he chooses to do. For the most part, he's going to do what he wants to do because he's, for all intents and purposes in our illustration here, he's the king. He's the president. And he's going to do what he wants to do. Now, we might not agree with what he wants to do, but that's his doing. But God, who's the king of all the earth, he chooses whom he will have mercy upon. He shall choose our inheritance for us. Now think about that. He has chosen our inheritance for us. He's made us under our God kings and priests. Christ is our inheritance. He has chosen our inheritance for us, and He has chosen us for His inheritance. For we're heirs of God and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. It says over there in 1 Peter chapter 3 that we have an inheritance that's incorruptible, undefiled, that fades not away, that's reserved in heaven for you. He has chosen our inheritance for us. He has chosen us unto salvation because He's King. He's King of all the earth. The excellency of Jacob, whom He loved. The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. He said, I'm the Lord, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. He shall choose our inheritance for us, the excellency of Jacob, whom He hath loved. Herein is love, not that we love God, He loved us. And He sent His Son to be the sacrifice for us. And then it says in that portion there, Selah. Selah. You think about that. God has chosen us. Turn over here to Psalm 65. Verse 4. Psalm 65. Blessed is the man whom Thou choosest and causest to approach unto Thee, that he may dwell in Thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of Thy house, even Thy holy temple. He has chosen us for His inheritance, and He has chosen our inheritance for us. Jacob, whom He loved. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we give thanks. We give thanks with a voice of triumph. Look at verse 5. Our God has gone up. Our God has gone up with a shout. The Lord with the sound of a trumpet. When Christ came in the flesh to accomplish our salvation, He came with a shout of victory. The angels appeared that day. And said unto you, this day is born in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And immediately there was a host of heavenly angels singing, glory to God in the highest on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. He came in incarnation as God manifest in the flesh. He came with a shout of victory, didn't he? The angels and the heavenly host praised his name. And when the Lord ascended as a forerunner, so when he came in the flesh to accomplish our salvation, he came with a shout of victory. Imagine this. When the Lord of glory ascended as a forerunner, as the God-man mediator, having accomplished all of our salvation, can you imagine the shouts and acclamations in glory that day when the Son of God came home? Can you even imagine such a thing? Can you imagine such a sight? We do not doubt that the angels and glorified saints welcomed him with all acclamation of praise and glory. He descended with a shout of victory, and he ascended with a shout of victory as well. He descended as our representative for us to accomplish our salvation. By his obedience, many shall be made righteous. And he ascends as our victorious forerunner. He ascends for us as our representative, doesn't he? He's a forerunner who is the anchor of our salvation, who has entered in to the throne of glory, seated on the throne, and occupies it for us, and we're seated in him. We're seated in the heavenlies already in Christ Jesus. Now, what do you say about that? We'll sing praises unto the Lord. God, our God and Savior, has gone up with a shout. The Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Now sing praises. Sing praises to God. That is, worship him. Honor him. Sing unto him. Worthy is the Lamb. They sang that day the new song of redemption. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive all honor, glory, blessing, and power, both now and forever. Unto him who loved us and washed us from our sin in his own blood. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises unto our King. He is our King, and he is our Savior. Now sing praises unto him. Sing praises, it says, for God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with understanding. With understanding. He never ceases to be God. He never ceases to be good. Let us never cease to be thankful in our hearts. For we read in Scripture, in everything give thanks. Now you think about that now. In everything give thanks. But this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything give thanks. That's what it says. Oh, may God be our teacher, and to teach us to be thankful unto the Lord. He never ceases to be God, so let us worship him as God. He said, I am God, beside me there is no other. I'm the only just God and Savior. And let us worship him. It says there in verse 7, let us worship him and sing praises unto him with understanding. With understanding. You know, true worship and true faith is not born of ignorance. Not born of ignorance. Let us worship with understanding of who he is and what he has accomplished. We don't worship in ignorance. The Father seeketh such to worship him in spirit and in truth. There is no spiritual worship apart from Christ, who is the truth of salvation. The truth of the way unto God Almighty. True worship is with understanding. We do not worship an unknown God. True worship is with understanding. Let's read that scripture over there in 1 John chapter 5. He has given us an understanding of a true and living God, and it is a delightful honor to worship him now and forever. Turn to 1 John 5. This understanding. He's given us an understanding. You see, the natural man, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, the natural man doesn't understand the things of God. They're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they must be spiritually discerned, but in the gospel and in the revelation, where it takes God to reveal God, He reveals unto us and gives us understanding of who He is and what He has done. And this understanding comes from God. 1 John 5:20, and we know the Son of God has come, and He's given us an understanding. He's hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes, that we may know Him that is true. He's given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true, and that we are in Him. Salvation is in Him that is true, even in His Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God, and this is eternal life. He saves us not in ignorance. He gives us an understanding of who He is. Saving faith is born of truth, not lie. Someone I recently read, if someone who claims to be converted under a false gospel and under someone lying against God, he has nothing but a false refuge and a lying salvation. You see, it's the truth that sets men free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So sing praises with understanding. Do we fully understand? No, we say with the Apostle Paul, we preach in part, and we know in part. But the part we do know, He has given us an understanding of who He is and what He has done. Therefore, we shout unto our God with a voice of triumph. We sing praises unto His name, and we worship Him. That's why we're here this evening. You think of all the things that you could be doing this evening. But you're here. Why are you here? Why'd you come this evening? I trust that you've come here to worship God and to hear His gospel declared. So sing praises with understanding. Look at verse 8. He's given us this understanding. God reigneth. He's given us an understanding that God is God. God reigns over the heathen. God sits upon the throne of His holiness. God is holy. This generation of religious people have lost the concept of who God is. They say, well, God loves everybody. It's not so. It's not so. The book doesn't teach that. God Almighty is holy. He sits on the throne of His holiness. And the love of God is in the Lord Jesus Christ. His love is holy love. His mercy is holy mercy. He dispenses mercy in a way that's consistent with His character. For His character is holy. The central attribute of God is not love. The central attribute of God is holy. Holy. Holy is His name. God reigns over the heathen. What does that mean? You know, the word sovereignty is not in the Scripture. But the truth of it is, and the root of it is, R-E-I-G-N. He reigns. He's sovereign. That means He's in charge over all things. God reigns. Whatsoever the Lord please. Let's see if we can find that. Is that Psalm 135, is it not? Psalm 135, verse 5. I know that the Lord is great, that our Lord is above all gods. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did He in heaven, earth, seas, and all deep places. David, where is your God? Our God in the heavens. He has done whatsoever He is pleased to do. God reigns over the heathen. God reigns over all. And He sits on an undisputed throne of absolute, undiluted holiness. The only way God can have any dealings with us is to do so in a way that is consistent with His holy character. And the only way God can be just and justify the ungodly is through Christ and Him crucified. Verse 9. The princes of the people, the princes of the people are gathered unto him. The princes of the people are gathered unto him. Who are the princes of the people that are gathered unto him? His elect, his chosen. They're gathered together, even the people, the God of Abraham, the true sons of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong unto God, and he is greatly exalted. For Christ is our shield. Christ is our security. Christ is our salvation. Therefore, he is greatly exalted in the earth. Salvation is of the Lord. He's exalted to the throne of glory, and in salvation, he's exalted in our heart. We read in the book of Acts, chapter 5, verse 31, he is exalted as Prince and Savior to give repentance and forgiveness of sin unto his people. He is exalted. He is our shield. He is our covering. He is our refuge. And he is greatly, greatly exalted. How high? How high is he exalted? As high as you can imagine. He's exalted as God and Savior. I've never heard anybody complain, that is, any believers complain, that the preacher exalted the Lord Jesus Christ too high, that he gave too much honor unto the Lord Jesus Christ, that he just preached on Christ too much. I've never heard a believer complain about that. I've heard some rebels say, well, all he talks about is Christ and him crucified. My friend, that's all there is to talk about. You don't find God's people complaining about the preacher said too much about the Lord Jesus Christ.